Welcome to Wacky Geeks. In this episode, college humor, hacking movies, USB flag, World War II code, Mentos and Coke, once again, World of War crack.
Strangely appropriate.
There's no strangely about it. It is appropriate.
Yeah. Period. Here's a story. On Wacky Geeks, episode number 43. Yes, I'm your host, Mike Wilhelm, and our co-host is Mike Dunlap.
Howdy.
Comic relief, Steve Douglas.
Steve Douglas. And Randall.
And Randall.
And Randall.
And Ken Hansen bringing up the rear.
Bringing up the rear.
Please don't do that again. Speaking of humor.
Very subtle. Very subtle.
That was a nice fade out there, Michael. All of a sudden it was...
I let off the pedal.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, again, this is Wacky Geeks.
Or is this...
There you go. Rim shot. Yeah, perfect.
Again, this is Wacky Geeks, formerly Grindr's Boxy app. If you have not resubscribed to our new feed, we highly suggest you go to wackygeeks.com and subscribe to the new feed before the feed on grindersbox.com times out and goes away.
Otherwise, you'll be out of feed.
Yeah.
You'll be out of his shows.
What happened? Where's the feed?
Yep, go there and resubscribe.
Or die.
Or check out all these cool links that we're going to be talking about in this one.
Yep. Okay, come on, Steve.
Okay, well, let's start with a little college humor, shall we? The 90s phone call, that's great. Go to college humor, go to the link. 90s phone call, it's a great little video. The 90s called.
CHTV is brought to you by It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That was great.
A great show, by the way.
Give me a chili cheese dog, two toasted cheesers, a beef taquito, and a 3-liter cola.
Got it. Be right back.
It's playing the Xbox.
Yep.
Hello?
Yo, Holmes! Your friend Pete, he has something that belongs to me.
What?
Pete, your dog. He's got some fresh threads that belong to me.
Why don't you call him on his cell phone, man?
Why don't you talk to the hand? Because the face just don't give a damn.
Good one.
And there's an Xbox, or no, it's a...
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, yeah.
When he's talking into a lip phone.
With a Titanic poster in the back.
Third eye blind.
All right, I'll let him know.
Tell him I have a Ken Griffey Jr. upper deck card with his name on it if I can get the stuff today. And I want my hat, too.
Okay, whatever. I'll take a mental notation. Later.
No.
Hey, man, the 90s called. They want their outfit back.
Very funny.
Oh, I miss the 90s, don't you?
I miss the
90s. Not really.
You know what I watched last night, speaking of...
90s?
Not the 90s, but, you know, I watched The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, and I was pining for, you know, Flock of Seagulls, and...
okay!
Another really bad 80s music, I don't know why. It's...
Speaking of the 80s and 90s, let's talk about some of the...
Wax on, wax off.
Some of the, and speaking of movies, let's talk about the 13 hackiest hacking movies of pretty much all three decades.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This is the way that Hollywood portrays hackers, and of course they always get it wrong, right?
Were there any hackers in the 70s then?
There's really no hacking movies back in the 70s, but there were hackers back in the 70s.
A lot of phone freaks, too.
Yeah.
Right.
There was some freaking, you're right about that.
Go to our webpage, wackygeeks.com, because honestly, there's too much to go over in this. But they mention movies like War Games, Antitrust, The Net.
Antitrust, there where he types there, is probably the closest, more accurate.
Yeah.
Dictation of a real computer, so
yeah. but there is, and there's like Swordfish in there, Firewall, which I cringe when seeing that movie, and even seeing the posters for it.
So what is the hackiest hacking movie moment ever then?
Well, they don't really have it by order. It's just mainly by, you know.
I'm going to say Sneakers or...
Sneakers actually was not on the list.
Yeah, no. So
Sneakers was not on the list?
Come well, on, I mean, they're talking the hackiest, which means, you know, the least true, you
least
know.
Least technically true.
Yeah. Least technically true, so.
Well, I would go War Games then, for sure.
Well, War Games is like, it. I think it's like halfway through on the list, so.
Well, I mean, that was my first impression.
Well, I know when I saw that, I wanted to get a war dialer and call up the Whopper and, you know.
Well, I still want to. If I get a computer, it's going to be the Whopper.
Our computer in the back here, its hard drive's name is the Whopper.
See, most people wouldn't even get that unless, I mean, you've seen.
The highest level one on the list is Disclosure with the Virtual File Room.
Oh, yeah, the Virtual File Room, yes. Which should virtually be fired. That's a really bad.
So are these hacking movies, are they synonymous with just bad movies? Or
no, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off is in here. I mean, they've got...
Okay.
There's some good ones. There's some bad ones, like The Net's in here.
See, the problem with what Hollywood
Real has Genius to do, is in here.
Hollywood has to portray it in a really interesting, you know, graphical... Right. Cool looking way, right. And not what.
Surprisingly, what Hackers is not on the list.
How about this for one of the worst hacking moments in movie history? I'm sure everybody will remember it. Jeff Goldblum with his Macintosh.
Actually, that's in the list.
Oh, excellent.
Hacking the Alien OS.
Yes.
That's right. Oh. Nice. They did not have. Now I can't think of the movie.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Great.
David Dallas is not on the list.
Office Space.
Oh, right. Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hacked in there.
Good point.
What kind of computer was that in Office Space? Because
it was a half Mac, half Windows, half...
it was a Mac Windows, yeah.
It was Mac Windows, and I think which is a little bit of Unix in there, too.
It didn't matter, man. That movie was all about symbolism and
true.
Now, Ken, you were working at the phone company during when War Games came out, didn't you?
Oh, you bet.
You know, tell us what happened to what you had to do because of that movie.
Hollywood doesn't let truth get in the way of making their movies.
Amen.
In War Games, at one point, Matthew Broderick is got away from the feds and goes into a payphone and unscrews the transmitter cap and shorts it out with a beer tab, makes a phone call. Well, I was working on payphones at that time. Everybody tried that. First of all, even if you could get the cap off, it wouldn't work. Second of all, those caps are glued on and people put them down against their knee to get a little leverage on them. And those things are hollow plastic and they snap right in half. And that cost the phone companies a huge amount of money. And the funny thing about that was when the movie came out, I'm so cheap, I'll wait for a couple of months to go see the dollar movie. And all of a sudden, we started getting massive amounts of broken handsets for no reason. And I didn't know what was causing it. Well, a couple of months later, I go see the movie, and I thought, that's it. That's what's causing it. About 6 months later, it came out on VHS at the time.
All hit the time.
And it happened all over again. And you could just track that by when that movie was released in different formats. And I'm surprised the phone companies didn't try and sue the movie producers over something.
Send the bill to Matthew
Broderick. Cost them a huge amount of money.
Do you want to play a game?
I wonder how often that, I mean, actually happens. I mean, where somebody will see something in a movie and for whatever reason think, hey, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, that's got to be real.
That's got to be reality-based. It's a movie, after all.
Well, yeah, that's why they call it suspension of reality when you go to the movies. Yeah. Probably happens a lot more than we think.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does.
Patriotism in USB is our next story.
Steve?
Patriotism. And you can actually... Oh, gee, I've even forgotten what this story's about because I wrote it so long ago. You can get you a USB drive. It actually has an American flag attached to it.
Actually, it's not a drive, is it?
It's a USB. Actually, it's like a lamp.
It's a USB lamp and a fan to sit there and blow the flag.
Blow the flag, yes.
and thus proving the fact that you are patriotic when you bring your laptop up to, like, the...
up the NSA.
Yeah, yeah, up to, well, NSA or, you know, Trent... if you're going to the TSA when you're checking in for a flight, you can just plug this thing in and prove the fact that you're American.
It actually will make the wave, the flag wave in the breeze from your power of your laptop computer.
And of course, you could sit there and play the national anthem while sitting there and, you know, having it on.
Yeah, they even show you how to make it and everything.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Just don't, you know, do the Iraqi or Iranian.
I love it when they turn it off the lights.
Yes.
All signing right. off for the day. Nobody remembers that either.
I do.
Oh, I do.
It's KABC. That's right. Already on the frequency. Yeah.
Can you still recite High Flight from memory?
Oh, God.
Oh, I've slipped the surly bonds of Earth.
And that's the skies on laughter silvered wings.
Yeah, we're old enough wow. to remember that.
I actually remember that. You guys mentioned that.
We are old, aren't
Jesus.
We?
Jesus. We are old.
Do you remember this?
Oh, gosh. We're sorry for blowing out your eardrums, folks.
I love this. Made in Hong Kong.
Yeah, everything is nowadays. Make up lives.
It's all made in China now.
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered about it in movies, you know, like old War II movies, and we go in and liberate a town. Where do they get all the American flags that all the citizens have that are always waving? It's like, do they have a secret American flag factory? You know, where the partisans all are back there?
No, because don't you know we didn't drop them food and stuff before we'd sit there and invade their city? We dropped flags.
Hmm.
So if they make them in sweatshops, do they wipe the sweat off their brow with our flags?
American flag, probably. Probably, but I always wonder where they got those flags at.
The rejects get used for toilet paper.
Yeah, there we go. Korean flags or something.
And then this PGP IBM trying to save
Bletchley Park.
Oh yeah.
Randall and I are both really enjoy this story. Bletchley Park, if you're not familiar with it, is in the United Kingdom. It's where the code breaking operations happened during World War II. These were the guys that broke Enigma. These were the guys that sit there and broke Enigma and made our victory possible. It also was the home to the world's first programmable computer, Colossus.
Right.
Bletchley Park is not getting any funding anymore. Specifically, the...
Save it, run out of funds.
Specifically, that the National Museum of Computing that's there is not getting any funding either. And they've been turned down by both the National Lottery in Great Britain as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for funds.
I personally find that just hard to believe. I mean, surely there can't be... What is stopping maybe half a dozen people in Silicon Valley from getting together and throwing a luncheon or...
Well, I think that's kind of what's happening here for the most part almost. Is,
really?
Yeah.
PGP... The chief executive of PGP is getting together with IBM and other technology firms to get
good.
Organizations organized in order to help save Bletchley Park.
I mean, because
and save the history that's there.
Not only, I mean, obviously the direct effect of what happened because of World War II and breaking the Enigma code and Colossus and everything else, but the fact of the matter is this was a groundbreaking concept in
cryptography.
Yeah, not only cryptography, but how you dealt with just, you know, information technology, basically. I mean, before this, there was no real code breaking per se. I mean, other than code books and literally guys, you know, with notebooks scribbling stuff down. This is the first, you know,
programmable computer.
Exactly that. I mean, you're talking. This is the birth of encryption. I mean, you know, much of our world today is owes much to what happened directly here. I mean, they basically gathered the biggest brains in on two or three continents and put them together to work this stuff out. And now, you know, it's kind of a shame that you know, these guys are no longer living, but you know, at least you could see where they did their work.
Yeah, but you would think some Silicon Valley billionaires could throw some money in that.
Right. I mean,
well, especially Bill Gates of all people. I mean, has so much money.
What
has
would
this
$1 million
foundation
do? I mean, $1 million. Come on.
Is that all it takes?
I don't know what it, I don't. In the story, it doesn't actually mention the money. But I mean, what would $1 million? This is not a big facility. You're talking.
They're mainly talking about the disrepair of the buildings and stuff like that.
You're talking about maintenance, and then maybe you know have a couple staff members doing tours, handling mailings, you know, things like that. But what would $1 million? $1 million is nothing to these Silicon Valley guys.
How about if everybody that puts their credit card number on the internet sends them a dollar?
There you go. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Or even a penny. How about that?
Yeah. Half a penny, even a quarter, a tenth of a penny.
I mean, they ask you to donate for the political. Are you adjusting my mic again?
Yes.
It's not moving there. I thought maybe I was moving back. Anyway, when you pay your taxes, you have to, you can do. Do you want to donate a dollar to the whatever, you know?
I would rather, honestly, talking about the tax thing instead of the presidential campaign.
Campaign, yeah.
Forget that. I say throw some money at the whole Bletchley Park thing. I mean, you know, historically, it's, you know, it'd be a shame to lose something like this. I mean,
I don't mind giving a dollar donation. They should give us more choices.
Well, there you go.
Let us write something in.
Yeah, there you go.
Donate a dollar to
start with another presidential candidate. Save Ken Hansen
Foundation.
Part of this too might be the fact that, I mean, it's in England and not here in the U.S. I mean, there might be, you know, tax implications or something.
You owe me money.
Yeah, but I mean, then again, I don't know what the details are, but you would certainly think that they would come up with a solution to this. I can't believe they haven't. I mean, that blows my mind.
Hey, I'd send them a dollar. They send us Monty Python.
That's right.
There you go. That's a fair trade off right there. That is excellent. Monty and Python. Mr. Bean. Let me just throw that in there, too. That's worth Mr. extra Bean. 50 cents or something.
Mr. Bean, yes.
Top Gear.
Excellent, that's Mike.
$2 right now.
Good one. So, you know.
Okay. Anyhow. Next on our list, to boldly go where no Mentos has gone before. This is a family that's science lovers. They decided they want to do an original experiment on G-Force One, which is a private zero-G jet. And they wanted to test the reaction of Diet Coke and Mentos in affected by the lack of a bubble convection and microgravity. It's actually pretty impressive to see.
The description is boring, but it's pretty cool.
I'm not sure what that description even meant.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool, and they did have some problems, but they were planning to go back up again and try it again. The best part...
small step for Mentos.
The best part is, like, just watching it happen, and then also the fact that they wanted to make sure that their kids...
for Diet Coke.
They want to make sure that their kids got a A+ in their what they do over the summer essay.
If my parents ever... you know, they were like, hey, Randall, why don't you like to go, you know, experience zero G? I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm all over that. I'll make an A, sure, whatever.
You know, I'll be all
I'll
over that.
I'll show up for class.
Let's go have some fun on the vomit comment.
Amen.
Blah. You can get to the link for that.
I mail over, I think. Mm-hmm. You?
Go ahead, Mike.
You can go to the link for that and see that on wackygeeks.com. So just go to our website, so...
And I won't be interrupting you there.
Thanks.
And then the very last story we have for this episode.
No Warcraft, try a kitten.
My best cat.
This was just an absolutely hilarious thing I saw online. You always see sales going on at stores, and Target is one of the stores that, you know, if they don't have something, they'll say, hey, you know what? We don't have this. Please substitute this. Well, it turned out they were all out of World of Warcraft Battle Chest at one of their stores, and they said, please substitute Paws and Claws Pet Vet Healing Hands.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Now, do you really think the Paws and Claws Pet Vet's going to appeal to the World of Warcraft crowd?
I was going to get Kenny a World of Warcraft for Christmas, but this looks better.
Oh, I feel sorry for the kid that happens to. I feel so sorry for him.
We like cats with the right sauce.
The only good thing is you don't have a chance of getting addicted to it probably as much as you do in World of Warcraft.
You never know, man. You never know. There's going to be somebody out there that's they'll be jonesing for
a little kid. That'll kettles and bits, you know.
I was going to say something else.
I've never heard Jones used in the sentence with kittens before.
That's true. That's true. Like, hand me that piano, yeah.
And...
Okay, that sounds like the end of the episode.
Yep, so. There's music coming.
Music cue by our director here. Who's...
And this one here is Tom Cruise is Crazy by Jonathan Colton.
Jonesing for Cruise. Cause too much distraction. Good thing that
he's not gay anymore. Oh, I love this song.
Have you guys seen Tropic Thunder yet?
Nope.
No, I haven't.
He's been in that, you know.
Is he? I heard he did. Yeah, he did a cameo.
Yeah, at first, you're like... Troubles. You might be Tom Cruise crazy, too. You'd flash your big, white, shiny smile. You'd buy expensive shoes. But you'd be the only man on earth. Couldn't enjoy Tom Cruise, oh no. You couldn't enjoy Tom Cruise.
That's just wrong.
But it's so right.
Oh, gosh.
Tom Cruise is always getting cool. He knows he'll never be that young again. And when Tom Cruise looks back over his shoulder, he sees a thousand younger leading men. And he knows someday he'll have to play an old retarded grandpa, while someone younger plays his sexy son. Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy. Just be glad it's him, not you. If you had Tom Cruise's troubles, you might be Tom Cruise crazy too. You'd flash your big white shiny smile. You'd buy expensive shoes. But you'd be the only man on earth. Couldn't enjoy Tom Cruise, oh no, you couldn't enjoy Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise hopes somewhere there's a place for him, 'cause he's not of this world anymore. Somewhere in some secluded castle.